Brother Kennedy at Chazier, can you wave your hand where you are? Brother Kennedy, okay, this is what you sent. He said, God bless you, Daddy. I acknowledge the presence of God in this church and oblige members to bask on the torrential revelatory teachings of our pastor Moses Alu. I do not intend to make this look distorted to anyone, God forbid, but humbly request you to show more elucidations concerning the remaining 1 week. 1 week and a half. And half a week, as taught by William Branham on the 70 weeks of Daniel's sermon and on the COD question from paragraph 20, 208, 370, and 371 respectively. Kindly balance the diet for us, Brother Kennedy. Praise the Lord. We continue with our divine agenda and the divine timetable. And it's so important, you can see how long it is taking us. And this is intended to let every believer know where we are coming from, where we are now, and where we are going in the agenda for the restoration of mankind, of God's creation, back to what he intended it to be in the Garden of Eden. Nothing going on now is haphazardly done. Nothing going on now is by mistake. Nothing going on now is a crash program of God. No, there is a design that God designed it. And please, he did not even design it in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, where the punishment was pronounced. No, he designed it according to the Bible. When? From the foundation of the world. So it is a well-planned out agenda. Now listen, church, and this agenda is in the Bible, scattered here and here. And God, through the voice of the seventh angel, fulfilled in the ministry of William Marion Branham, God has caused us in this age to understand this agenda. Now listen, I know where that question is coming from, Brother Kennedy. It is a question that has polarized different groups, two groups in fact, in the entire message worldwide. And some of them are listening to me now. Amen. What is it? Is that William Branham taught on the day that he preached that revelation that he titled the 70 weeks of Daniel. He used the scriptures and confirmed that after the rapture has taken place, it will remain the 70th week. 7 years, 1 week. But when it came to when he was setting the church in order in that book known as the COD, Church Order and Doctrine, during question and answer, he was asked, Brother Branham, did you say it is remaining 1 week after the rapture for the Jews? And Brother Branham answered, he said, no. It is remaining half a week, 3.5 years. And a lot of people have picked it to say that the 3.5 years, praise the Lord, the 3.5 years, that it is only 3.5 years left after the rapture, that of the 1 week, 7 years, that is supposed to be left after the 69th week, they are saying that Jesus Christ has fulfilled the first 3.5 weeks, seeing that his ministry lasted 3.5 years. But that is confusion. The timetable given to Daniel said at the end of the 69th title the Messiah will be cut off. How can you then say that the 1 week that is remaining was part of the 69 weeks? It doesn't make sense. Are you saying the prophet is wrong? No. He is not wrong. He is right. There is a reason that God caused that man to make certain statements. People who are following the ministry of William Branham, they were a mixed multitude. There were people who were hearing what he was saying, and there were people that were just busy looking at the man. Instead of looking and hearing the message, they were busy concentrating on the messenger. And some idolized him. Some believed that everything William Branham spoke was thus said the Lord, and that he was infallible. Some went up to the extent of baptizing in the name of Jesus, and the name of William Branham. Till now, they are doing it. Even in Nigeria here. Amen. Two groups of people were following the ministry of William Branham. Amen. There must be separation. Can you see? Did you see that picture? Can you see what somebody is doing? That's a follower of the ministry of William Branham that put a picture before him and is now bowing before the picture. Ah! God Almighty. You can imagine how William Branham will be feeling in his grave to know that, see what all he did, all he spoke, this is what it has produced. And one time, while William Branham is still in that ministry, when they were saying he is God, he is God, he is not a normal human being, he is God, because of the unusual grace of God upon him, when he heard it, he was preaching and listened to the sermon, he was crying and weeping and said it's nothing but the devil just trying to mess up his ministry, and decided that he will not preach again if God will not stop that spirit. And he made this statement. He said he would rather be known as a quitter than to be known as an antichrist. What he's saying there, that it is better that his history should be that he started and later on he left the ministry, than that after he died he'll be known as an antichrist. And he stopped preaching for some years. 5 years he did not preach again. Until God came and gave him that revelation of that bruised serpent. He saw a serpent that came stand before him. He took a sword and cut off, tried to cut it off in that vision. But he wanted to cut off the head, but he was just able to cut some part of the body. The head still remained. And according to what he was watching, that head entered the water. And then he said that is the spirit that is going about trying to disturb his ministry and saying that, deifying him and saying that he was God. He tried to deal with it with a sword. The sword there is the word of God. But he said, but he still entered the water. He said that spirit has entered the world. And he warned us not to follow it. The same William Branham said, anything I say that does not jive with the scripture, he said, throw my own away and hold on to that of the Bible. When I stand preaching the divine timetable, did I bring the sermon book of William Branham? No. Where am I pointing it from? The Bible. So let's look at the Bible. Let's look at the Bible. Your ability to take this Bible and preach salvation is the evidence that you are part of the restored ministry. We are restored to the apostolic faith. We are not restored to sermon books of William Branham. The sermon books of William Branham is to bring us back to this almighty book, the Bible. And until you achieve that, you are not in the message. Ask your neighbor, are you in the message? Answer Amo. Answer him. There are churches that you will go to. Enter message churches around the world. I attended one of them in America. Is it last month or so? when I went there. And all their service that day was tape service. They are playing the tape of William Branham. And all of them, church members, they sat down. Anything the tape talk, now they go do. And that tape was preached in 1940 something. Praise the Lord. All of them will say hallelujah. The tape will say praise the Lord, hallelujah. All of them will answer hallelujah. You want God to remember you, to put out your hand, they will put up their hand. I was thinking that it is Sunday school. When they finished, William Branham closed the service and everyone there, they shook hands with your neighbor and everybody left the church. I said, what happened? The service is over. Hey! And to them, they are in the message. You're never in the message. Lie, kai. That's why it's so difficult for me to direct you to enter messages, message churches around the world. Members of Bride Assembly, including those of you watching us, there are some places I will send you to. You will run out 5 minutes after you enter that place. One of these days, this revival will reach all those angles and they will wake up from their slumber in the name of Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Last week, we reached in the study of the divine agenda where we looked at the message, the timetable that the angel gave Daniel in Daniel chapter 9 from verse 24. And we saw according to that timetable that by out of the 70 weeks that was given, 69 weeks were fulfilled when Christ was crucified. Praise the Lord. And then, once he was crucified, the last week that we make the 70th week was suspended. From then, from that AD 33, till now, it is still remaining that 1 week. After the 69th week, praise the Lord, was fulfilled, and it is a 69 weeks of years. 1 week, 7 years. After it was fulfilled, they rejected the salvation offered to them, and he turned to the Gentiles. That is where you see in those parables variously displayed in the Bible, the parable of the marriage feast in Matthew 22. We see it. They rejected the offer to come to the feast, and they had to turn to the byways according to the commandment of the Lord. So between the 69th week and the 70th week, that period that the gospel came to the Gentiles, it is known as the Gentile dispensation. That is when grace came to us. I said last week, it began with Peter, who had the keys, hallelujah, to the kingdom. He opens the door to enter the kingdom. And anyone that will have the key that Peter has is only that preacher that when he preaches, people receive the Holy Ghost. People get converted. While Peter yet spake, the Holy Ghost came down. That was when the gospel began with the Gentiles. It came to us and we are still in it now. The interesting thing there is that it is not to last forever with us. He divided the period of the Gentile dispensation, hallelujah, into 7 church ages. It is this dispensation, Gentile dispensation, that Apostle Paul was speaking about, that it is a mystery. In Ephesians chapter 3, it's a mystery. It's a mystery. And unless God lets you understand that, you will never know. And it's important we as Gentiles, we should know so that we can appreciate grace. Apostle Paul referred to us as a wild branch. He was saying that if that we are a grafted branch, he said, if the original vine branch was cut off, amen, so that we can be grafted in. He said we should not boast. That's why he said that we should work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Don't take things for granted. But more importantly, don't even think that it is forever. It is an agenda that has a time limit. And to make this clear, I have to give a picture. I'm staying too long on this topic, and we are entering the Holy Ghost period. Let me give you the picture. To make it clear that the church was going to be divided into seven different church ages. These seven different church ages, each age will have a light bearer. Each age will have a star messenger known as the angel to that church age. And he gave a depiction of it in those seven churches in Asia in Revelation chapter 1. Let's open it. Now, in Revelation chapter 1, he gave a message. Verse 10. John says, I was in the spirit on the last day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. These seven churches which are in Asia, these are seven different locations with believing assemblies there. But in his own wisdom, each of these churches had characteristics that was going to give us a picture of how these seven church ages will also appear. So while the message was to that location, it was not just to that location, it was also the same message, because the same characteristics, and history proves everything, the same characteristics that those localities had was the same characteristics that, you know, identified with each of those seven churches. That is why we have each of those churches now named, each of these seven dispensations now named after those churches in those locations. So we have the Ephesian church age, we have the Sumania, the Sumania church age, the Pergamos and Thyatira and the Sardis, and then Philadelphia, and the Laodicean church age. The Laodicean church age is the last church age, and this is the age that we are in now. And every characteristic that was in those ages reflected, in those churches reflected in these seven ages. Let me give an example. This is the Laodicean church age. Let's go to the message that he gave to that church and see how it applies to us. For instance, verse 14, Revelation chapter 3. He says, verse 14, Revelation chapter 3. This is the message to that church. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, this thing saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Catch it. As we are reading it, take your mind to this present church age. Look at the Christian, the condition of the church of Jesus Christ in this age. Then you'll understand that that message was not just for that locality. That message was also for this last church age. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. He said, I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now see the reason here, what he has against them. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. He said, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Your physical condition is a period of wealth. There is no church age that has had the wealth that the church has in this age. This is the age where some churches are richer than the state government of their location. Than the budget. Their annual budget is higher than the location that they are located in the state. This is the age that ministers that we are known before, they will say, poor as church rats. In those days, if they tell a woman, go and marry the pastor, you will not say they have sentenced you to poverty. But now, hey, as they chase politicians, that's what they chase us. This is the age where you see pastors, everything they own is designers. Even all of their cars, designer. They all own private jets. It's an age of wealth. Wealth, wealth, wealth. Why? This is the age. If you are not preaching prosperity, nobody goes to your church. Until you heard what Bishop Oyedepo said in that newspaper yesterday, we all read it. He said he's not ashamed to say that his church is a church for the rich. Oh yes, now, he's not lying. They are not poor. But the truth is, while they are saying we are rich, we are this, he said you don't even know. This is how God is looking at us Christians in this age. He said, you are thou art wretched. You are miserable. You are poor. You are blind. And you are naked. The reason is Ichabod is already written against them. And they don't even know it. The glory has departed. So this is the Laodicean church age. And every age had a messenger. That is what he was trying to let us know. Revelation chapter 1. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand, the right hand of God signifies his power, seven stars. take note, 7 stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Who is the person speaking? Thank you. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Verse 20 is my emphasis now, to understand those candlesticks and those 7 stars in his right hand. The understanding is in verse 20. The mystery of the 7 stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the 7 golden candlesticks. This is the mystery. The 7 stars are the angels of the 7 churches. And the 7 candlesticks which thou sawest are the 7 churches. 7 church ages. 7 stars. Star messengers. Every age had a star. And according to theologians, everyone agrees. William Branham stated, he said that there must be a way to determine who are the stars for each age. Who are those stars for those ages? And he said there has to be a reference point. We all know that Apostle Paul boasted, and we see it in the scripture, that he is the first messenger, the apostle to the Gentiles. Am I correct? And several where in the scripture, those who tried to challenge him, he made boasts of his ministry. He gave all the evidence, the proof of an apostle. And that's why, even in this age, if you come and tell me you are an apostle, before I will accept you as an apostle, I will compare you with Apostle Paul. Because there are the signs of an apostle. Screen it for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 12. There is a sign of an apostle. He said, truly. He was telling the Corinthian church, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Signs. Okay, Apostle John, where are the signs? Where are the wonderful things you are doing? It's not enough that you are using your oratory gift as a lawyer and breaking down scriptures. Apostle Paul answered that type of person. He said, we did not come here with the enticing words of wisdom of man, but we come with a demonstration of the power and of the Spirit. He said, the kingdom of God is not in words, but in what? In power. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you.